On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, host Aaron joins us to chat about the world record for holding your breath underwater, The Price is Right, and DC's state mammal.
You'll never guess what it is.
But first, we'd like to remind you to check out our book. It's We Don't Know Either, easy title, remember, because you're listening to this podcast. It's available, wedontknoweither.com, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere their books are sold. It's super fun. Mail it to your grandmas, mail it to your relatives out of town. Get it. Get our book.
Enjoy the show.
And enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 324 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Aaron.
Aaron, welcome to the show. First time on the We Don't Know Either podcast and host extraordinaire.
Oh, pshaw.
Yeah. So, Aaron, tell the people something that you're just dying for them to know about you.
Oh, my God. What do you?
I told you I was going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I am on the spot. I just became a licensed minister.
Oh.
About 3 weeks ago. I don't have my credentials yet, but if anyone wants to get married at one of our venues, I am allowed to do that.
That is awesome. Where did you get your license through?
Some website. I can't think of it. It was one of those click here and you're instantly ordained. And so within 5 seconds, I was an ordained minister.
Hey, cool.
Well,
look
if
at
you're
that.
Getting married, I'll keep you in mind for my wedding eventually.
Right.
You're on the list.
That's way easier than like going to a seminary school and studying theology.
Yeah. Well, I did a wedding last year and they didn't make it to their 1 year anniversary, so
Ooh.
I'm 0-1.
Yeah,
so I could also do your wedding, but I don't know if you'd want me to.
You called me host extraordinaire. I think I could be minister extraordinaire too, so I'm going to guarantee you, quote unquote, at least a year plus.
Wow. Oh,
look at that.
Yeah.
With the guarantee, what happens if it doesn't make it?
You get 10 bonus points if you come to my venue.
That I think is totally fair. Follow-up question in relation to your trivia hosting. What is the most interesting thing you've learned from being a trivia host? Has there been like a fact that's sparked some interest? What's the most interesting thing that you've learned from your hosting time?
There's one question that stands out in my mind.
Everybody has
one. It was one of the podcast questions relating to cameo.com. And if you wanted to get a shout out from Flavor Flav, it's going to cost you $250. And I was astonished that I had to go to that website and check it out. Did you know Caitlyn Jenner is on there?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I think it's $2,500.
Yeah.
And I said, this is incredible. I've got to save this. You know, one day I'm going to save all of my money from District Trivia and I'm going to get a shout out from some no name just so I can say that I did it.
Right.
Yeah, that could be your video looping on your host page on the website.
Right. I think Perez Hilton was on there for like $27.
Mm. I've seen a Perez Hilton. I don't know what it does, but
yeah.
Okay.
I think you're not alone there. I think most people agree with you.
Cool. Well, Michael, that is a big deal for you.
I'm very pleased with myself right now.
Yeah, your fact is the most interesting thing Aaron's ever learned ever in his entire life, I'm assuming.
That, and I know the name of the skipper from Gilligan's Island.
What?
He actually has a name.
What is the name of the skipper?
Jonas Grumby.
Yep.
Wow.
Bored one Sunday watching, I think it was MeTV, and it was maybe the pilot of Gilligan's Island, and they gave their backstories for everyone, and they gave his full name, and I said, well, I'll be damned, he actually has a name.
Yep.
I didn't know that until this very moment.
We've cool. asked that question before. You got to pay more attention.
I guess. I'm sorry about hosting 6 nights a week. I host a couple nights a week, but not 6. Okay, cool. Well, Michael, because you are the favorite fact of Aaron, I would like you to kick off our podcast.
All right. Mine's a pretty straightforward question, all things considered.
Oh,
it's
okay.
About the U.S. government.
I've heard of it.
Yes. How much of the state of Wyoming is owned by the U.S. government?
How much of the state of Wyoming is owned by the U.S. government?
Yep.
Okay. Why are you asking this?
Because I thought it was very interesting.
Okay. So it's got to be more than 1%.
All right. So it's correct me if I'm wrong.
This is land?
Yes. Yeah,
correct okay. me if I'm wrong. But the way we're thinking about this is that I live in the state of Maryland, right? And I own my house,
mm-hmm.
or at least
right.
the bank does. Eventually, I will own my house. So that means I will own half an acre in the state of Maryland.
Correct.
Right? So there are individual landowners in the state of Wyoming, and one of those landowners is the U.S. government.
Yes.
Different part.
Right?
Well, different ways.
So you're looking for a percentage, or are you looking for the number of national parks, the number of grazing reserves, the number of all of that is
all
included
of that is included.
Thing. Okay.
And so I'm looking for a percentage.
What do you know about Wyoming, Aaron?
So Wyoming is a state?
Yes.
interesting. I'm learning more and more each day.
It's one of the rectangle ones.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
Move over, cameo.com. That's the new that's the new most interesting thing. Wyoming's kind of square-like. Okay, so what do you think, percentage-wise, Aaron? How much does the federal government own the state of Wyoming?
Let's see. I am going to say 62%.
Okay.
That's a great guess.
62%. What 62. Led you to 62%?
That's the first number that came into my head was 62.
You're fitting in well here.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
So the population of Wyoming is what?
It is about...
It's not
577,000, give or take.
I was going to say 300,000, so it's double that.
Wait a minute, of the state of Wyoming?
The total population.
Half a million.
Yes.
Just over half a million.
I think they just crossed that recently, because I remember reading something a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, about how they haven't crossed half a million yet, and now they have just crossed it.
This is a 2018 number. So.
Oh, well, then I was definitely very wrong and was reading an old article. But anyway, so okay, around a half million.
It's ranked 49th out of 50 in population density.
What's 50th?
Alaska.
It's got to be Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's the biggest.
The population is 49th. Or, excuse me, population is
density.
50th.
Yeah.
The population number is
Yeah, there are more people in Alaska than there are in Wyoming, but because Alaska is bigger than Wyoming, the population density is lower in Alaska than it is in Wyoming.
Correct.
I think I got that right.
So, Nick, what is your guess for a percentage?
I'm going to say, so there's only 500,000 people there, and let's say that one out of every five is owning instead of renting. So let's go ahead. And I'm assuming you mean like individual owners and not like banks. Well, it
Correct.
Doesn't matter.
It's not owned by the federal government.
Right. So I'm going to say that they hold, I'm going to say it's higher. I'm going to say it's like 82%.
Okay.
82%. Okay. I definitely think that it's over half. I feel like since you're asking this, it's got to be pretty high, but I feel like over 90 or even over 82 just seems like a lot of land. Whew. I'm going to have to go, I'll split the difference, and I'm going to say about 75%. So
okay.
3/4 of Wyoming owned. Because, I mean, Yellowstone's what? A very, very high percentage, right?
Yellowstone is in the state of Wyoming. It is not
Most
entirely
of it.
Within the state of Wyoming.
Right, but it's a chunk of Wyoming, a significant chunk.
Yeah.
I'm smelling a lot of farmland in this question for some reason, so I got a feeling we may be too high.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Well,
all three of you are indeed a little high.
Okay.
Oh.
So
is
what's
it
the
over
answer?
50?
It's very close to 50. It's 48%.
Wow.
Oh.
This is coming off of I have a PDF here from the Congressional Research Office.
Well, that's a good source, Michael.
Yes, thank you. But you know that includes the National Forest, the National Grassland. There's an Air Force base in the Capitol.
Sure.
All of that included comes out to about 48%.
So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about selling Wyoming to Canada in order to erase some of the national debt.
Was it Wyoming?
I'm pretty sure it was
Wyoming. It was your fact.
Was it Montana? It was Montana.
It was Montana.
It was Montana. But my point is, we could sell Wyoming, but only the government-owned piece of it. We don't even need, you know, the government wouldn't even need people's approval to do that. You could just sell half the state immediately.
Yeah,
I got to think Wyoming's worth more than Montana.
But does Canada need more space?
No. They need more southern space, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, Canada, you with your land up there.
Right.
Wait for it. Is that
no,
oh, Canada?
I got
okay,
it.
Okay, you're just ignoring me?
I get you.
That's fair. Well, Michael, that's a very cool fact.
Thank you. Other thing, just bonus Wyoming fact.
Bonus.
They were the last one to raise the legal drinking age from 19 to 21. They didn't do it until 88.
Interesting. Oh, you would think
really?
That they'd be one of the first ones.
Why?
Because there's nothing to hit. In like a drunk driving scenario.
Well, there's also nothing to do. So
right. Like, well, that's that offsets it, I guess.
Well, those moose get loose in Canada and come down,
true.
And that's something that can get hit.
Bison, I guess, in Wyoming, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Bison can not be very nice.
I think it's in the same article. I'll see if I can find it. But in Wyoming, there are more bison deaths than bear deaths.
Oh, people die because of bison?
Yeah.
Mm. Well.
It's the official state mammal of Wyoming,
well,
as a matter of fact.
Do you know the official state mammal of your state?
I do.
I don't.
Do you really?
It's California. It's the grizzly bear.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Aaron, what's your home state?
It's D.C., so I'm going to say the chili dog from Ben's. That is our state mammal.
Yeah.
I need to know immediately if D.C. has a state mammal.
I've already looked it up.
What is it?
I got to find D.C. now.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, I guess, does DC's, and you as a DC native can attest to this. I know, obviously, it's not a state, but do you have state things? Like, what is that referred to when it's referred to state mottos, state birds, when it's related to DC?
The only thing I can think of is taxation without representation on our license plates. That is it. Anything else related to DC, maybe DC Go-Go. Music, and that's about it. That's all I can think of, really, for DC.
Yeah, just
which
I'm
is sad.
Red pandas.
Red pandas?
Do you remember a couple years ago when the red panda got out of the National Zoo?
That is the DC.
It was the most DC thing I had ever heard.
Yeah,
it was like they found it at a metro station.
That's our state mammal. Is the red? Oh, my
Rusty
God.
The red panda, right?
Yeah, Rusty.
Yeah. Michael, California, the grizzly bear is the land mammal, the official land mammal of California. Would you like to take a guess at the marine mammal of California?
I was not aware we had a marine mammal.
You'll never get it. It's the gray whale.
Oh, yeah, never would.
Yeah.
I'm upset. Like, D.C. does not. This is why D.C. needs a statehood, is so that it can have
cool.
They
can have mammals and, yeah.
Yeah, foods. And vegetables that aren't technically fruits, like Oklahoma.
Right.
If D.C. were to declare a state mammal as opposed to getting the potholes fixed first, I'm leaving the DMV area altogether. I want nothing more to do with it.
That's fair. That's very fair. Okay, Michael, I actually have a pretty good segue from yours to mine.
Okay.
All right, so you're talking about land ownership.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it was.
I want to go to the opposite of land, which is?
Sea.
Sky.
Yeah, sea slash water.
Okay.
And so water is a thing that humans can't breathe under. That's a relative fact. And by relative fact, I mean it's definitely a fact.
Aaron, here's just an example of these stretches we made to get the segues in.
Well, speaking of stretching, you stretch out your lungs to be able to breathe underwater. And so my question is, what is the world record for longest time the breath is held voluntarily underwater for men? This is specifically the longest time breath held voluntarily male. This record was set in 2016. So I would like to know, in minutes and seconds, what is the world record for longest breath held underwater?
This wasn't David Blaine, was it?
David Blaine did set the record back in the early 2000s on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and his was about 17 or so minutes, if that gives you any sort of guess.
It very much does.
That helps. Very crafty way of getting that information.
I shouldn't have said it, and I regret it, but there you go.
I asked a yes or no question. I got more information than I was looking
That's
for.
That's right.
Oh, could have been a lawyer. All right, so upwards of 17 minutes. I will give you those hints.
Okay, so I can hold my breath for probably upwards of 60 seconds.
Wow.
Probably.
Okay. I might challenge you to that, actually.
You don't think I could do it for a minute? For 1 minute?
For 1 minute, I don't know.
I think I could do it for a minute.
With the cough you've had bouncing around the office lately.
Oh, no, you're not wrong.
Is there a medic on site?
Yeah. No, we're not going to do this on air.
No, absolutely not.
No.
Really? I do want to stick around for that, though.
Let's just hear me hold my breath for 60 seconds with nothing else going on. I think that is entertaining.
That is what the people want.
All right. So there are all the free divers and all the people that do that. And I know that in order to hold their breath for longer, they saturate their bloodstreams with oxygen by like hyperventilating and sucking down pure oxygen for a period of time before they hold their breath.
That is correct. This and for the record, this record holder did do that. So the Guinness official rules for this do allow for the hyperventilating the pure oxygen, whereas some like in the pure free divist community feel like that's akin to steroids in baseball. Like
sure.
It's cheating.
Yeah.
But for this particular record, yes.
Okay. So
I don't know if that helps
guesses?
You.
I'm going to say 20 minutes, 30 seconds.
20 minutes. Okay.
And 30 seconds.
Got it. 20 minutes and 30 seconds.
Thank
I gotcha.
You.
I'm going to go Price is Right rules and go 20:31.
Oh, no. See.
But he still has to guess yet.
That is true.
Oh, so 20:32.
You're going to say 1 minute.
No, because I think you guys are under. I think it's probably more than 21 minutes and 31 seconds.
Okay.
And I will not go 1 second over Aaron's. I will give him the ability to potentially get it right. So I'm going to go way over that and say 22 minutes.
22 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So you guys are all still under.
Wow.
Really?
All still under. So by Price is Right Rules, Nick's is the winner. But any other guesses? You want to submit guess number two?
Because it went so well for guess number one.
Okay. I'll just tell you. Yeah. It's 24 minutes and 3.45 seconds.
Oh, that was going to be my next guess.
24 minutes?
I was going to go 25.
Yeah.
That's forever. For half an hour? I can't do anything for half an hour. I have a hard time sitting for half an hour.
Yeah. So this was set on February 28th, 2016, 24 minutes and 3.45 seconds. This is Alex Segura Vendrell from Spain. So it was set in Barcelona, Spain. He's a professional free diver. And the attempt took place at the 17th Mediterranean Dive Show. The entire video of him holding his breath is on YouTube.
Okay.
So you can watch him hold your breath. And it's very... they say, like, well, you know, when you hold your breath, the impulse to gasp for oxygen, obviously that's what your lungs and your brain and everything needs, but it's also the release of carbon dioxide, and that's what really causes you to have that reflexes when you're holding, to get rid of the waste that your breath is making. So you can see when you watch the video, like, just the concentration level to... You just have to be really concentrated, and I would not have the focus.
No. Yeah, it's like I said, I can't do anything for that period of time.
No, nothing whatsoever.
I wake up in the middle of the night every 22 minutes.
Were you on an episode of Battlestar Galactica? Are the Cylons coming?
They are.
Every 22 minutes? Great episode, by the way. Great, great episode.
You have any idea what they're talking about, Aaron?
Not a clue.
Okay, just
no, not a big Battlestar Galactica fan?
I have never seen one episode.
Oh.
You're missing out.
It's pretty good. That's
not true. I've seen the South Park episode where Cartman goes on Battlestar Galactica. I've seen that.
Okay. So that's close. That's pretty much what it is anyway.
I haven't watched the last season, but the first few, man, it is just excellent, excellent, excellent television.
So wait a minute. It's been rebooted? It's not. You're not talking about the 1970s Battlestar Galactica.
Right. No, there was a 2000s reboot that was,
and it was just
4 or 5 seasons.
It was basically societal problems set in space. Like,
right.
You know, catastrophe happens on Earth. There's only a couple surviving people of the human race in space.
Catastrophe happens on planet.
Oh, sorry, planet. It's not Earth. Earth-like. Right. What is? I don't know remember the name of it, but it's
M-class.
And so how do they deal with elections? How do they deal with all of these things that you would have to deal with when you're reestablishing society in space? I thought it was cool. Anyway.
Basically, the equivalent is that the Secretary of Education becomes president of the galaxy or whatever it is.
Yeah. Isn't that the same premise of Designated Survivor?
Pretty much,
ABC, I think it was.
Yeah, with Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so who's got a segue from my underwater fact?
So speaking of world records.
Yes.
That was such an easy one. All right.
Yeah, very.
In June of 1965... a 27-year-old gentleman named Angus Barbary went to the doctor.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. He had been very upset. He went to a hospital in Dundee, Scotland. Okay. He was very upset because he felt as though he had become grossly obese. Okay. So under doctor supervision, he proceeded to put himself on a fast diet. No solid foods. Okay. At the end of this fasting, he was 180 pounds. So he went from 456 to 180 pounds. How long did he go without eating solid foods?
So he just went on a juice cleanse?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
I mean, it was calorie-free fluids as well as a handful of yeast, electrolytes, vitamin, mineral supplements.
District Trivia and City Trivia and all the other trivias do not endorse any of this weight loss methods.
No. So he did it entirely under a doctor's supervision. He did regular visits back to the hospital for blood tests and health tests and everything else and maintained the diet under a doctor's supervision for the entirety of the period of time.
When was this in?
This was in...
Year-wise.
Yeah, it was in June. It started in June of 1965.
Hmm. Okay. What do you guys think?
I'm going to jump in. I'm going to say 65 June. And he said... It was 465 pounds?
456.
456 and went down to 147?
180.
180.
Yep. Never do math live.
Yeah.
It's about 286 pounds.
276 pounds.
276 pounds.
I'm going to say he did it for 2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Okay. I did a little math.
Okay.
I just went against what you said and did math live on the air.
Uh-huh.
With the help of a computer calculator.
Sure.
I got to 55 weeks, so I'm going to say 1 year.
1 year, okay.
What was your reasoning with your math, Michael? Please do it out loud.
5 pounds a week.
5 pounds a week, okay. I feel like that's about right. Like
I know a standard diet, you're talking somewhere between 1 and 2 pounds a week is what you're going to, like a safe diet kind of thing. So I think something like that, maybe double it and a little bit extra. I'm going to say 5 pounds a week, so I'm going to say about a year.
5 pounds a week, that seems like a lot, but also if you're not eating I feel like if you're not eating solid foods and you're drinking liquids without any calories, the pounds are going to come off a lot quicker. But also, if you're losing more than 5 pounds a week, that seems to me that would cause problems.
Yeah.
Plus, it's the 60s, so there's a lot of coffee and cigarettes involved as well. So,
right.
Got to factor that in.
He could have as many cigarettes as he wanted.
Have you counted in the cigarette factor? No. Okay. I was going to guess about a year myself, and I don't want to steal your thunder. So, I once again will split the difference and say a year and a half.
Okay. So, on questions like this, where there's no real way to have an answer, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is more of an educated guess kind of thing where you take certain things you know about the topics and you apply that to the whole thing. I do not believe that in the history of this podcast and possibly in the history of this company, we have ever had somebody get so close with a guess.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Wow.
So he did it in 382 days.
Wow.
Which was 2 days shy of
55 weeks.
Of 55 weeks. He lost an average of 5.25 pounds per week, or 3/4 of a pound a day under this diet. So it's 382 days. So, Michael, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Michael, that's awesome. And
I'm actually, like, it's one of those things, like, I'm outwardly trying to go, yeah, I got that right. And in my head, nope. Can't believe that. I'm stunned.
Yeah, Michael.
One of the cool things about the picture, about the article that I have that details this guy's entire like trip through this process, is that it has a before and an after photo.
Wow.
So it has him at 456 and it has him at 180 at the beginning and at the end. And he kept the weight off for the remainder of his life. He died in like the 1990s.
Yeah, if you don't eat solid food for a year, you're going to want to keep that weight off.
Yeah.
Fair.
So, but it was one of those like, he didn't eat very much, so his stomach shrank, so he wasn't as hungry anymore. So he, you know, kept up with the system and kept going through it and had a doctor's test. The single most interesting thing is that if you're not consuming anything, what happens?
You don't go to the bathroom?
Exactly.
Oh.
So, bonus fact. How long between going to the bathroom for him?
Number one or number two?
Number two.
It had to be number two because
it's
a liquid diet.
Liquid, yeah. I'm going to say,
over the 382 days of the process, how often did he go to the bathroom?
I think he pooed. I can't say.
It's a highbrow podcast.
Yes, very. I think every 12 days.
Okay.
I was going to say about once a week.
Once a week?
Okay.
I'm going to say cumulative 6 months.
You didn't think he pooed for 6 months?
You think he pooed twice during the entire process?
Also, I like that we're saying pooed.
All right, let's backtrack. Because, yeah, that sounds absolutely ludicrous.
No, you could be. That could be very well the guess. That seems like a very, very long time. Not as a lady that I ever poo.
Didn't eat anything solid. Let's go with once a month. So let's say he did 12 times.
Once a month is an extremely good guess. It is slightly slightly low. He actually ended up going to the bathroom 9 times during the entire process, an average of every 42 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The amount he must have saved on toilet paper. That's just savings.
So I have a question for everybody at the table here.
Uh-huh.
You're on a liquid diet for 1 year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Day number, you said 382 days.
Would you like to hear what he had for breakfast?
This is exactly what
day?
I want to know. Is I want to know what's the first thing you're eating that's solid.
Okay.
So let's hear what he did.
So his first meal, he celebrated the end of his self-imposed starvation with a breakfast of 1 boiled egg, a slice of buttered bread, and a cup of black coffee.
Oh, no, I'd go way bigger.
Which is one of the worst breakfasts I can think
of. No, it would make you sick. It would definitely make you sick.
The buttered toast and coffee, I totally get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have solid foods for over a year. I think you've got to ease back into that.
Yeah.
You're not having like a 5-course, like heavy French meal.
You're saying lasagna's out the window.
Yeah.
I'd be arguing that guacamole would be a liquid. It's kind of.
See, Lindsay, that's the problem with people like you and me. It's like, okay, liquid diet for 1 year. Well, let's talk caveats.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
It's the liquid scotch.
Yeah.
Yes. Does booze count? Okay, Aaron, you're wrapping up the show today. What is your interesting fact, and how in the world are you going to segue from Nick's to yours?
We did a lot of exacting today on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question for you all. In 2008, September 22nd, Terry Neese was the first person to do this on a game show. Terry Neese, a weatherman from Las Vegas, Nevada, was the first person to ever do this on a TV game show.
In what year did you say?
2008.
Okay, in 2008. Well, that eliminates what I thought was it was going to be.
Are you going to tell us what the game show is?
I can, but I think it may give it... You know what? I will tell you. It's The Price is Right. We've been talking about Price is Right rules throughout the show. So he was the first person to do something on The Price is Right in 2008.
Is it an exact guess on the showcase?
That is absolutely right.
Hey!
That's what I was going to guess.
It's Michael's day today.
And it's been
Michael's
fun day. Being on the podcast. I'll see you all next time. Good night.
So... Okay, so but The Price is Right is around for forever. So he got it down to the dollar amount?
To the exact dollar. And I'll give you a little bit of backstory on it. So this guy's a weatherman from Las Vegas. He's been watching The Price is Right forever. So he finally gets to go on the show. He makes it makes his way down to Contestants Row, bids exactly right on the green grill, the green egg grill or whatever it is.
Right.
Gets his way up on stage, wins the next pricing game, then winds up all the way to the showcase.
Did he win the pricing game perfect?
I don't think he won the pricing game perfectly.
Okay.
But he did, even if he had, he would have still had to go through the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he made it all the way through to the wheel.
Right.
Wins,
won the wheel.
Goes to the showcase. Now, the sucky part of the story is that the lady next to him, Sharon, she gets the first showcase, passes to him, and he makes his bid. She bids on her showcase. Is short by $494.
Which is a ridiculously good guess.
Exactly. So you know how the show works. The right. person to the right of Drew, unfortunately.
I like Drew. I like Drew. Cool.
I'm a purist.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
He's not Bob Barker, therefore
Thank
not
you.
Good.
Oh, but I think he does a great job. Those are tough shoes to fill. But this is a debate for another day. Okay.
that's the next podcast. That's the whole podcast. But anyhow, they come back from commercial. We go through the showcase, and then she gives her bid, $494 off. So if you're $494 off from your showcase, you're feeling pretty good,
mm-hmm.
especially in that first position. Then they go to Terry. Terry's bid is $23,734.
Okay.
On the nose. Drew Carey should have lauded this guy as the greatest thing in television history
sure.
to have happened in the 38 plus years The Price is Right has been on. He grits his teeth. Terry, you hit it right on the nose. Show's over. He's excited.
Right.
The crowd's excited.
Right.
Balloons should have dropped from the heavens. They should have stopped the show, called Bob. Bob, come out of retirement. You do this.
Right.
Right.
Just because it's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
And it leads to this whole conspiracy where they think that one of the producers that's been
gave him the actual number.
Oh.
But he goes on to tell in his story from EsquireMagazine.com. He tells his story of how he's been watching it for so long, they've used some of the same prizes. And then he's used some of his personal effects, like his wife's birthday and their PIN number.
I hope he didn't say that to everybody.
Their wedding anniversary. And that's how he comes up with the exact bid, the $23,000 bid.
So it was just a random, in his mind, in his explanation, it was just a random combination of numbers that he threw together.
There you go.
Okay.
That's it.
Wow.
And it just happened to be exactly right.
Exactly right, and no one else has done it.
I think that just goes to show you, as I always say, it is far better to be lucky than good.
Yes.
How many other people have done it in the history of the show? Has anyone done it since?
No.
Wow.
No one else has done it. The show's been on now for 47 years, I think it is now.
Until next week when this podcast airs.
That's how that works.
47 years. Drew Carey was so scared that, according to the article, that he thought the show was going to get canceled because there was a perfect bid. It's never happened before. And he was, the next week, I think, in the National Enquirer, he says there was on the front page that there was a rigging scandal on The Price is Right. And if you know anything about TV game shows, they don't like rigging so much in network TV.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there was generally a bad thing that happened. So.
Yeah, especially the whammy guy that memorized the patterns. And
which is pretty awesome.
That's not a rigging thing. That's a memorization thing.
Right, I know, but they don't even like the appearance of that because if your game isn't fair, then why are people watching? Why do people care? Why do people play? And where do you make your money?
Hence the whole thing going on Jeopardy right now. It's obviously not fair. This guy's winning all the time.
Mm.
But if you go on to YouTube, just for a bit of fun, go on to YouTube and just look up Perfect Bid on The Price is Right, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about, where Drew Carey is like, oh, you hit it on the nose, congrats, and then, thanks for watching, and then that's the end of the
show.
So
make
weird.
Sure you have your pets spayed and neutered.
Yeah, he thought it was never going to air because he figured the show was going to be canceled based on what had just happened. So he just said, screw this guy. I'm just going to end the show and go home and have a beer, and that's it.
All right, well, it's about time that we do that same thing, end the show, have a beer, and go home. But first, we need a secret phrase. So, Aaron, what's the phrase?
Secret phrase. Wyoming is up for bids.
Wyoming is up for bids. Wyoming is up for bids. That is going to be your secret phrase. Wyoming is up for bids. That is your secret phrase. Michael, we were way too nice to you. You're feeling really confident. You're not going to be able to walk back through this door with your ego.
Oh, no, no. Next week's going to be rough. I can feel it already.
I can't wait. All right. Well, this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Aaron.
We don't know either.
Bye.
Bye.